negative expectation can have power in your life. Now, let me tell you what negative expectation is. Expecting something bad to happen. Negative expectation is expecting something bad to happen, expecting something to fail. Negative expectation is expecting something bad to happen, expecting to fail, and is based on fear. So negative expectation is expecting something bad to happen, expecting to fail, and is based on fear. You got that? So what is negative expectation? And it's based on what? Fear. Now listen at this. And it has the power to produce. It has the power to produce what you are expecting. So I say that again. Negative expectation, expecting something bad to happen, expecting to fail, and is based on fear. And it has the power to produce what you expect. It has the power to produce what you expect. In other words, if you're expecting something bad to happen and you are in fear, more than likely it will. Because remember, Job says this, "For the things that I have greatly feared has come to pass." So negative expectation is expecting something bad to happen, expecting to fail, and is based on fear. And it has the power to produce what you expect. If you're expecting something bad to happen, more than likely it would happen. Because that's what you are expecting, and expectation has power. Now let me show you an example of negative expectation. Let's go over to Numbers, and let's look at chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Now remember, negative expectation is expecting something bad to happen, expecting to fail, and it's based on fear. And it will produce in your life. So Numbers chapter 13, are you there? Yes. And we're going to look at, start off with verse 1 and 2. And verse 1 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying," now notice, who's talking to Moses? The Lord. So you know anything he tell you got to be right. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give. He made it clear already, this land that you're going to search, I gave it to you. And so he says, "Which I give unto the children of Israel, of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, everyone a ruler among them." Now let's go on down a little further and let's read. Well, let's stop right here. First, I want to make a point. The children have been in bondage, the children of Israel have been in bondage for how long? Over 400 years. Now they are free, and God has told them, "Here's what I'm going to do now that you are free. I'm going to give you the promised land. A land that flows, not just have a little bit, but it flows with milk and honey that represent wealth and riches." He said, "I'm going to give you this. You've been in bondage for over 400 years. Now," he promised the children of Israel, "you are out of bondage now. Now I'm going to give you a land that flows with milk and honey." And he tells them, "You know, I want you to go up and search the land." Notice what he want them to search. Something he already gave them. He said, "I want you to go up and I want you to search the land." Let me tell you something about God. God likes giving his children gifts. He loves to give his children gifts. And they don't be just a little bit of thing. He said, "I'm giving you a land, a place called Canaan. And in this land, everything you need abundantly is there. It flows with milk and honey. it flows with wealth. God likes giving his children gifts. Now let's go on to verse 26. We're talking about negative expectation. Verse 26 says, "And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel, the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land." Now notice what they got. They got the fruit of the land. They got evidence and proof of what God had promised them. "And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it flows with milk and honey." They said, surely, no doubt about it, it flows with milk and honey. "And this is the fruit of it." In other words, I got the proof. It says in verse 28, "Nevertheless," we're talking about negative expectation. "Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there." Verse 29 said, "The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." He did not tell them to go and give him a geography lesson. And that's exactly what they're doing with this negative expectation. They tell them that was all them. And we'll drop down to verse 33. And it says, "And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." Now how they know what they look like in their sight? Because they was hiding from them. So they talking about, this is what we look like to them. We look like to them grasshoppers. Now let's go to verse 31. Verse 31 says this, "But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." That's what you call negative expectation. They haven't even been up against them yet, and they already talking about what these people can do to them. They had negative expectation, expected something bad to happen, expected something to fail based on fear. Because that's what they based it on. They had never been up against them. The people didn't see them. That's why Rahab had to hide them. You know, and the people ain't seen them. And they're talking about what they look like in the people's eyesight. Because they had negative expectation. God had already told them through Moses what to expect. But they didn't expect what God told them they would have. Because fear and negative expectation came in, and they lost all hope. Now they have more, they have more confidence in the negative than they do the positive. Amen. Because of fear. So here we see an example of negative expectation. Now our second expectation we're going to look at is neutral expectation. Neutral expectation. Neutral expectation is you don't really expect nothing good or bad. Neutral expectation. You don't really expect nothing good or bad. Because the reason why you don't want to expect nothing good or bad is because you don't want to be disappointed. So you don't expect anything good or bad. So you say stuff like this: I don't want to get my hopes up. You ever heard people say that? I want to, but I want this, but I don't. I want this car, or I want this house, but I just don't want to get my hopes up. I just see what happens. I want to get my hopes up. Well, what do you want to do with your hopes? Get it down? If you don't want to get them up, you must want to get them down. You know, if God made you a promise, I'm talking about what God said. I'm not talking about no lie somebody told you. I'm talking about what the living God says. If he say he'll give it to you, you don't have to worry about getting your hopes up and getting them down. You ought to expect him to do it. So So neutral expectation. You don't really expect nothing good or bad. You know, you don't want to be disappointed. I just don't want to get my hopes up. I'll just see what happened. Keep on just seeing what happened. I'm going to tell you nothing. So let's take a look at neutral expectation. Over in the book of Luke, we're looking at neutral expectation. Luke chapter 5. We're talking about, we saw the negative expectation, and we don't want to dwell there. We don't operate in it, want to operate in it. Now we're going to look at neutral expectation, an example of neutral expectation. Are you there in Luke chapter 5? Verse 4 says, Luke chapter 5, verse 4. It says, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, and you see it written in the red, so we know it's Jesus speaking. He says this to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. Highlight nets. For a drought. Highlight drought. He tells him, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drought. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Negative expectation. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now I want you to go back up here to verse 4, where Jesus tells Simon, launch out into the deep. In other words, take this boat and move forward into this lake. I want you to move forward and go out to the middle of this lake. Don't hang around the borders, but I want you to launch out where the deep part is. And he tells him, here's why I want you to go out in the middle of the lake. Because I want you to prepare for a drought. That's why he told them to let down their nets. Now let me tell you what a drought is. A drought means abundance. It means abundance. A drought means surplus. And it also means, listen at this, a monsoon. You know, a monsoon is a heavy rain and a heavy wind. And when it blows hard. So here's Jesus telling them, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drought. He was telling them, I want you to expect a drought. I want you to expect abundance. I want you to expect a surplus. I want you to expect a monsoon. Get ready, he's telling them. Let your nets out, because I'm about to do something supernatural in your life. So he tells them, I want you to launch out into the deep. Now listen to his response when he tells him to launch out into the deep and let your nets down. Here's Simon's answer to after God just told him, I'm about to give you abundance, a surplus, a monsoon, a heavy rain and the wind is about to blow in on you, Simon. Here's what Simon said. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the what? The net. We have toiled all night long and taken nothing. Simon was rehearsing his failure. He was rehearsing. We toiled all night long. He's rehearsing his failure. Remember I said negative expectation means expecting to fail? So now he's rehearsing his failure. We have been working all night long, but nevertheless, in other words, if you say so, let me show you that Simon was not expecting good or bad. Really wasn't expecting anything. Look at verse 4. Verse 4 says, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your what? Nets. Nets. Nets meaning more than one. It has an S on it. Meaning more than one. Now look at verse 5. Verse 5 says, and Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night long and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down what?
The net.
The what?
Net.
The what? Net. I will let down the net. That's not what he told him. He didn't tell him to let down the net. He told him to let down the what? Nets. But if you say so, he still didn't do what God says. He was operating in natural expectation. So he only let down a net when Jesus told him multiple nets. Now let's see what happened when you don't follow God's instructions. Verse 6 says, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net did what?
Break.
Their net break. Notice their net break. If he would have followed the instructions of Almighty Jesus Christ, Jesus was telling him, prepare yourself, Simon. I'm finna send in a drought and let down your nets. God don't want to give you something you cannot handle. That's why he told him, get your nets out. Prepare for a drought. But because Simon had negative expectation, he only put out one net. We always talk about, look at him, how blessed he did it at God's word. No, he didn't. He was partially obedient. And that's just as worse sometimes as being disobedient. But still yet, God blessed him. He got blessed. But that's not the blessing God intended for him to have. He intended for him to have all this blessing. But look, he got to call somebody else. Because he ignored God. So he ignored Jesus. So he had to call other people, bring in your nets. But he was trying to bless him overflowing. That's why he said, get your nets out. So because of his negative expectation, he did not believe God. So he put out one net. And he lost a lot of what God was intended for him to have. We're talking about neutral expectation. Well, he wasn't expecting a drought. He wasn't expecting abundancy. He wasn't expecting a surplus. Look, we better get to that stage when God tells us exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think that we believe him.
Amen.
If we're living holy.
Amen.
Now, if you ain't living holy, stop asking God for anything. Just ask him to spare my life another time. Stop asking him to give me this, give me that. And like I said, we're still going through the ABCs. Come to church. Come on time. Do this. Time. Do that. Do that. Do that. No. You got to live holy if you're expecting anything from God. So the first one was what? Negative expectation. The second one was neutral expectation. The third one is misguided expectation. Misguided expectation. And we'll see an example of misguided expectation over there in the book of Kings. 2 Kings, misguided expectation. Our expectation can be misguided. Misguided expectation over in 2 Kings. 2 Kings, and let's look at chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. And we're going to start with verse 1. And read to verse 4. Are you there in 2 Kings chapter 5? It says in verse 1, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his masters, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Verse 2 says, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captivities out of the land of Israel. A little maid. Everybody highlight this, a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, What God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria? For he will recover him of his leprosy. Wasn't she sweet? Here this little girl is being captive, taken away from her mother, her father, and her family. And she tells the people who had her in captivity, I could tell my Lord how he can get healed. I'd be saying, let that leprosy run from his hand on up to his... And you would too. You'd be saying, kill him, Lord, so I could get out of here. But this little girl was so sweet. She's in captivity. And here's what she said. And she said unto her mistress, since this wasn't a vengeful person, she was operating in compassion.
Yes.
That's her. And... And she said unto her mistress, well, God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is in of the land of Israel. Now let's look at verse 9, and we want to see his response to it. We're going to read from verse 9 to 11. Verse 9 says, so Naaman came with his horse and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elijah. And Elijah sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan. How many times?
Seven
times. Made it clear. Go and wash in Jordan seven times. And thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Simple instruction. Go wash in Jordan seven times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, behold, I thought. Everybody say, I thought.
I thought.
See that? I thought can get you in trouble. Behold, I thought. He will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hands over the place and recover the leper. Let me tell you something about Naaman. Naaman was expecting Elijah. I'm talking about this misguided expectation. He was expecting Elijah to come out and wave his hands over his leprosy. He was looking for the spectacular and missing out on the supernatural. Because, see, I want you to come out and do something spectacular. But he was missing out on the supernatural. That happens sometimes. Sometimes people will miss out on the supernatural expecting something spectacular. Sometimes, you know, you can come up and, you know, get in the prayer line, and just because you didn't hit the back door when somebody laid their hands on you, you thinking nothing didn't happen. I'm still standing there. I'm still waiting. I'm still see, that's what he was doing. Hey, you know, I thought he would come out, bam! You know, and then that's happened. People come up in prayer line, and they stand there still waiting. They're waiting on the spectacular, while the supernatural, God is trying to get them to operate in the supernatural. And you ever pray for people, and you're praying for them, and they standing there, they too busy trying to brace themselves to make sure you don't. And I'm saying they're missing out on all the anointing, because they're too busy with the, hey, I'm making sure I'm letting everybody know I'm not going down. Well, God ain't finna fight with you. He's finna wrestle you down to the floor. If you want to stand there, you know, and then some of them stand there and they don't know they have received their healing, and they still there with the eye. Wait, I'm waiting on something spectacular to happen. Something, you know, my finances, you know, I'm just waiting. Money just got to come out of the sky. I'm waiting on something spectacular. I'm looking under that tree and see is money gonna fall out of it. Looking for the spectacular. And missing out on the supernatural. So Nathan, he's giving instruction. He had a misguided expectation. Now let me tell you what misguided expectation is. Misguided expectation is the way you want God to do things. The way you want God to do things. Misguided expectation is the way you want God to do things. the way you want it to be done and how you want it to be done. The way you want God to do things, the way you want it done, and how you want it done. That's misguided expectation. But if you do it the way God says, even if it looked like nothing is happening, just keep on doing what God says to do.
Amen.
Even when it looks like nothing is happening, just keep right on doing it. If God gave you the instruction to do it that way, just keep right on doing it the way God says do it. Now let's see what happens when you do it the way God says to do it. Let's look at verse 13. Verse 13 says, "And his servant came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do something great, some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he said to thee, Wash and be clean. Then went he down and dipped himself, how many times?
Seven
times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child. And he was what?
Clean.
He was clean. It looked like nothing was happening. And here's what Naaman did. Naaman went down seven times. But listen at this. Nothing happened until the seventh time. If he would have given up on the first dip, nothing wouldn't have happened. But he had to go dip seven times. He dipped seven times to receive his healing. If it looked like nothing is happening, I'm telling you tonight, go dip. If it looked like the pain didn't go away when you prayed for it, go back and dip again. And say, by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. If it looked like those finances are not getting any better, go dip. If it looked like the family situation is not getting any better, go dip. When it looks like nothing is happening, go dip. Obey God's word. See, what is he dipping in? He's dipping in the word of God.
Amen.
He's dipping in God's instructions. When it looks like nothing is happening, go dip. I'm not just dipping, I'm dipping at the word of Almighty God. I'm dipping at what he says. It looks like nothing has happened. Go back and dip. It looks like this pain won't go away. Go back and dip. Just keep on dipping until you see the change. Do what God has ordered you to do. Now I want to tell you something about, I want to make a note of this. Be careful of misguided expectation. Write this down, because this is important. Be careful of misguided expectation, because it will cause you to get offended and miss your miracle. Be careful of misguided expectation. It will cause you to get offended and miss your miracle. You got that? Be careful of misguided expectation. It will cause you to get offended and miss your miracles. Because verse 11 says, when Nathan was given those instructions, he got offended, and it said he went away wroth. He went away angry. That's, so it caused him, see, he could have got that miracle the first time. But because he had misguided expectation, he went away without his miracle. So I said, be careful of misguided expectation. It will cause you to get offended. He got offended at the man of God, and it will cause you to miss your miracle. He went away wroth. That's what happens sometimes in churches. People have misguided expectation. Just like the man of God, God told Elijah what to do to Naaman, gave him some instruction. But he got angry because the instruction that God had given him. People do that sometimes in churches. God tell the man of God to tell the people this. They get mad and leave. Because why? They was expecting him to say something to suit their ears. They wanted the way they wanted and not the way God said it to be. You can't run a church like that. It won't run for long. You won't be and the Holy Ghost won't be, but the people will be because of misguided expectation. So Naaman had misguided expectation. Misguided expectation can cause you to miss out on your miracles. When you want something to suit your ears, when you want things that, you know, I want it the way I want it and not the way God wants it. You know, things that come from God should not offend you. You shouldn't get angry and say, they talking about me. So what? Get it straight. Get it right. Do you think I want to be guilty of being wrong? And if it come across the pulpit, did anybody spend the night with you last night but the Holy Ghost? So misguided expectation will cause people to be offended because I didn't want to hear it that way. If God sent it across the pulpit, it was the best thing for you, and it means you need a change. He's trying to help you. So misguided expectation will cause you to miss out on your miracles. Let's look at the fourth expectation. Now we finally get into it. The positive expectation. Positive expectation. Positive expectation means fully assured. Fully assured. Positive expectation means fully assured. Confident. Favorable. Fully assured. Confident. And favorable. Now I want to give you an example of positive expectation. And we can find that over there in the book of Mark. Familiar story. Mark chapter 5. And we're talking about positive expectation. Fully assured. Confident. Favorable. And we're looking at an example of positive expectation over in Mark 5. Mark 5. And we're going to look at verse 25 through 28. Positive expectation. Are you there in verse 5? You're in chapter 5, verse 25. And it says this. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him and touched his garment. She came behind him. Because she had this issue of blood, she was considered to be unclean. They social distanced her. So this is what she did. She came in behind Jesus. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. If I but just touch his clothes, I shall be made what? Whole. Here's what she's saying. I am fully assured that when I touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. Notice she was saying something. She started rehearsing and talking to herself. I shall be made whole. She had positive expectation. The moment I make contact with his clothes, I don't have to touch him and he don't have to touch me. But all I have to do is make contact with his clothes, and this disease no longer will exist on the inside of me. And I shall be made whole. She had so much confidence and assurity. I don't have to do nothing but get a touch of his garment. Not Jesus take that robe off and wrap it around me. and I know the healing power in that robe, you know, I just need to get a touch. You don't have to do anything spectacular, Jesus. You don't have to lay hands on me. I just want a touch. Positive expectation. And she said, I'm fully assured that when I touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. There's some positive expectation. Let's look at verse 29. Verse 29 says, And straightway. Everybody say straightway. And straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed. Now notice it says, and straightway. And straight away. Straight away means immediately. Immediately. When you release your faith and have positive expectations, some straightaways will take place. When you release your faith and have positive expectations, some straightaways will take place. Some immediately will take place. Say this with me. Say, I'm believing
for some straightaways.
I am believing
for some straightaways.
Listen, she had this issue of blood for 12 years. Doctors tried everything. But when she had positive expectation and released her faith, she was healed. What caused this positive expectation to be released? What caused this positive expectation to be released? Let's look at verse 27. And we're going to see what caused this positive expectation to be released. It says, When she had heard of Jesus, faith coming by hearing. For when she had heard, of Jesus, she began to release positive expectation. Faith coming by hearing. And then she did something else. Next, she did something else. She got in his presence. She heard about him, and she got in his presence. Look at verse 27. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and did what?
Touch
his garment. She came in the press behind him, and she touched his garment. Now notice what else she did. I want you to see something else she did. She got in his presence. And here's something else she did. Verse 28. For she said. I want you to know something. If your faith can't move your mouth, it can't move your mountains. If your faith can't move your mouth, it can't move your mountains. For she said, she started speaking something. She started saying something. If your faith cannot move your mouth, it definitely won't move your mountains. So you better start speaking. And you better start saying something. You better start making positive confessions. For she said, she started saying something. She started making positive confession. She said, just let me make a point of contact with him. Just let me touch his clothes. Notice she was practicing this thing. She was saying what she was going to do. Just let me touch his clothes. Just let me make a point of contact with him. That's what the mother said one morning. You remember when we was here one morning for early prayer? Early one Sunday morning. Hear a prayer. Mother said, if I could just make it to the temple. could just get in his presence, if I could just make it to the temple early on Sunday morning, I know I'm going to make some contact when I get into his presence. I know once I get into contact with him, get in his presence, I know I'm going to be made whole. I know I will be paid off. That thing blessed my soul. She got up and gave that praise report that morning. She said, I got up this morning. She won't feel it so good, but she said, I said, if I could just make it to the temple, if I could just make it to the house of God, if I could just get in his presence where the saints have corporate prayer going, I know that I shall be made whole. You need to get up out of that, off that couch. Corona is gone. It's over. You need to get yourself back in the house of God, all you social media saints, and you need to know if I can make it to the temple, God is going to change that situation for you. God is going to change your life. If you just make it to the temple, you don't want to sit at home no more. Peep and watch and make the comments. Good, Pastor. What? Oh, that's a good one. You punch it right now. No, it's time for you to make it to the temple. Well, you could come into the house. Oh, my stomach hurt. Oh, my head hurt. If you could just make it to the temple, if you just come into the house of Almighty God, you will be made whole. She said, if I could just make him, I know, no doubt about it, I would be made whole. And verse 29 said, and straight away. Everybody saying straight away. That means immediately. Immediately. Meaning there's no time left between it. Between the time you made the request and the time, the manifestation. Well, no time in there. Immediately it happened. I'm looking for some straightaways in my life. Immediately. You can forget that, say he might not come when you want me to go a long time. No, straight away and immediately. You know, we got all those little sayings because that song came out. It was good for the time. But I'm looking for some straightaways. I'm looking for some immediately. Meaning there's no time left between it. Between the time you made the request and the time it manifests. Won't no time in between. Soon as it came out of your mouth. Straight away. Immediately. God caused it to come to pass. Right then and there. Straight away. Right now. Somebody say, do it, Lord. Straight away. In my life. I had this too long. I've been wanting too long. Now it's time for straight away to take place. Going through this too long. Now it's time for immediately to take place. It's been on my back too long. I'm not going to carry it around anymore. Immediately, straight away, God is going to cause it to come to pass. Right now, I asked it, bam, it happens. Straight away. No more send around seeing what might happen. If it could have been, if it would have been, but straight away, immediately, God is going to cause that request to come to pass. Start asking him right now. Tell him what you want for straight away. Tell him what you want. Tell him now what you want. Tell him now what you believe in for. Straight away. Straight away. Tell him now, God, here's what I'm believing for. God, here's what I want. Immediately, because I'm living holy. I'm living holy, God. And I expect it to happen right now. Immediately. Straight away. Straight away. I'm not going to wait any longer. But it's happening now. Straight away. Straight away. Right now. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Straight away. Right now. It's happening. what you need, what you believing for, what you've been asking God for, what you've been longing for, right now, straight away, immediately, it's happening, straight away, immediately. I don't have to wait any longer. But God is causing that thing to come to pass. Right now. Right now. He's doing it for you too. Straight away. Right now, Lord. You know what they're believing for. You know what they're asking for. You know what they're praying for. Send that child home right now. Bless them with the finances right now. What they're believing for. Right now. Lord, I need a deliverance. Straight away. Right now. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Oh. Woo. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Straight away. Immediately. Right now. Right now, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I've been believing you, Lord. We've been believing for that one big thing. But straight away. Immediately. Right now. Right now. Thank you, Lord. You can be seated. Let me take you just a little bit further. Just a little bit further. Tell you, we won't have to go there, but over in the book of Matthew chapter 8, it talks about this centurion. We're talking about straight away. Immediately, right now. And he comes to Jesus on the behalf of his servant. He says, Master, my servant is at home sick of the palsy. Here's what I want you to do, Master. He says this, I will come and heal him. He said, Master, you don't have to come. All you have to do, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you don't have to do all that spectacular. You don't have to come to my house. You don't have to come and lay your hands on me. But here's what I want you to do. Speak the word. And speak the word only. Come on, Master. And just say it out your mouth. Just speak it. And he said, I want you to speak the word only. And when you speak the word only, I know he shall be healed. Straight away. Immediately. And it says, when Jesus spoke the word, it says, in the self same hour, the very hour the request was made, his servant was made whole. Straight away, immediately, in the self same hour. That's better than destiny to me. I take the self same hour. The same hour that the request was made, his servant was made whole. And here's whatever says, what else it says about the centurion. It says this, Jesus marveled at him. Marvel. Now Jesus has seen everything. But he says, I haven't seen this type of faith. And it said, he marveled at him. You know what marvel means? He stopped. He stopped. And it got his attention. This man's faith. And it also means gazed. This type of faith made Jesus stop, marvel, and he gazed at him. When you have positive expectation, it will cause Jesus to stop and respond to what you're requesting. He'll stop and he will respond to your expectation. In other words, Jesus has seen everything, but he had never seen this. He marveled at him, and it got his attention. This man, when he said, "Jesus, you don't have to come to my house. Just speak the word only. Pastor, you ain't got to come bring me a bowl of soup. All you got to do is just speak the word. And speak the word only." Why is that? Because Psalms 1:27 says, he sent the word. And he did what? He healed them. And he delivered them from their destruction. All the men will praise the Lord. You don't have to come. Just speak the word. Praise him tonight. Praise him in this sanctuary. Praise him tonight. Hallelujah. When was the last time you made Jesus marvel? It's time for our expectation to increase. It's time for us to make Jesus marvel. It's time for us to have positive expectation. It's time for us to increase our positive expectation. It's time for us to begin to speak and call Jesus and say, "Wait a minute! That's my child speaking it. I marvel at what he's saying. He has released his faith. And I'm at his request. And here's what he's saying. Come on to Jesus. What is it that you want? I will give it to you." Positive expectation. Positive expectation. I'm going to tell you what positive expectation is. Well, yes, Sister Dixon, you remember? She said, she told us how God blessed her with a house. Yeah. And here, I never forget. She told about how, now this is a blessing. This was a praise report. Not God blessed me with a house and I got it, but now I don't know how I'm going to pay for it. But he made so many ways for it. And here's what she said. And I'm still peeping out the door. I'm still peeping out the door. I'm still expecting God to bless me some more. I'm expecting not just the house, but what goes in the house. I'm expecting to pay off the house. I'm still peeping out the door. I got positive expectation into operation. One more. I got one more to give you. One more to give you. Okay. Let me get, because we got to get this one. Thank you, Lord. I'm still peeping. I'm still peeping. I'm still peeping. I'm still peeping. Immediately. Straight away. I'm still peeping. Psalm 62. This is our last expectation. Come on, we got to get this. Our last expectation. Expectation. Okay, baby. Last. Psalm 62. Psalm 62. Verse 5. Psalm 62. Verse 5. It says, the psalmist David said this, "My soul, good God Almighty, my mind, my person, my soul waits not only upon God, for my expectation is from here." Number 5, a God expectation. I ain't depending on no man. I'm not depending on no job, but only God I am depending on. A God expectation. The psalmist David said, "I'm not depending on anybody else to do anything, but only God." When you act on the word of God, God makes himself responsible for the results. When you act on the word of God, God makes himself responsible for the results, because God watches over his word to perform it. Didn't he tell you in Jeremiah 1 and 12, I hasten to perform my words? In other words, I watch over my words. I look over them. And here's what else it said: move rapidly. I move rapidly at my word. God hastens to perform his word. So we have a God expectation. I want you to listen to this. I want you to write this down. The next time you start to make a negative confession, write that down. The next time you start to make a negative confession, got that? The next time you start to make a negative confession, or just have confessed something negative, or the next time you may have negative expectation, remember this: God will not respond, but the devil will. The next time you make a negative, you know, you have negative expectation, the next time you make a negative confession, God will not respond, but the devil will. My time is up. I thank you for yours.
Glory.
Remember, we are a changing church, living in a changing world, serving an unchanging God, and he's operating in your life speedily, suddenly, immediately. In Jesus' name, you be blessed. Come on and give.
Are you looking for a church that meets the needs of your entire family? Well, if you are, New Life Christian Center is the church for you. Pastors Andrew and Cheryl Singletary personally invite you to be part of one of the fastest growing churches in the Triangle. New Life Christian Center is where we produce the Prevailing Word TV broadcast. Service times are Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. We provide children's church at our Sunday morning services. We provide ministries for women, men, singles, and teens. Come visit us at 7415 Fayetteville Road in Durham, North Carolina. For more information, visit us on the web at www.theprevailingword.org or call us at 919-405-2080. New Life Christian Center, where the Word prevails.